Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 211. Woot woot. And you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/211. All right. I love starting with questions. I have so many questions for you. And then it becomes like interactive. You can answer. I can't hear you, but well, actually, yes. Yes, I can. Of course I can. I always hear you. So do you have an advanced theater class? Are you looking for a new challenge? What about a touring show? Can you imagine putting that together with your students? Yes? No? Never? Maybe? Well, our guest today did just that, and you, lucky you, get to find out all the successes and struggles of this fabulous project. So let's get to it. I'll see you on the other side. Everyone, Lindsay Price here from Theater Folk. Thanks for joining me. I am talking with drama teacher Mike Yosin. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fabulous. So tell everybody where in the world you are.
Sure. I'm in Piscataway, New Jersey. So that's like central area of New Jersey, like about an hour outside of New York.
Very cool. Very cool. And how long have you been a drama teacher?
This is my third year.
Third year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
really new. Yeah,
that's okay. That's all right. Yeah. We have lots of people who are new. So what was it about teaching? What drew you to teaching drama?
Sure. So like, I mean, I grew up being such like the biggest theater kid like ever. I went to school for acting. So I went to school in New York for that. And then after I lived there for 4 years, I came back to New Jersey, and I ended up working at a school for students with multiple disabilities as like an aide. And it was a school that I've worked at in the past. And I ended up having a full year job there. And like through my time at that school, I realized like, hey, I think teaching is a really cool thing to do, and I really enjoy it. So I decided to like combine my two passions, and I went back to school, got my like theater ed certifications, and then started teaching high school. Yeah.
And have you been at the same school since you started?
Yep. Piscataway High School.
Very cool. But it's a very specific shift, eh? Like to go from I want to be a performer to I want to be in the classroom. What do you think it is about being in the classroom that's the thing that you want to pursue?
Well, I mean, I loved my high school theater days. Like I thought I like back on it so passionately, and like I just think it was so much fun. And once I started delving into like the teaching, I realized like how cool it was to expose kids to theater for the first time, or at least, or even like develop their skills if they were like the quote unquote like theater kids like from birth, like I was, just to see them grow and develop and like find a new passion, or just find like a place where they can grow more confidence. So that's what I really love about teaching theater.
Okay, you've been doing it for 3 years now. What's one thing that has sort of was pretty unexpected about teaching that they didn't really prepare you for when you went to school?
Okay, well, I guess...
Unless you had an amazing school.
Yeah, I mean, no, I had great professors and everything. I guess, like, what was, like, the biggest... how do I say it, like an obstacle that like starting teaching was that not every kid is like super passionate about what I'm teaching or what we're doing in class. And like my first year specifically, because when I came into my position, the theater classes moved to the visual and performing arts department. So they were like taught by an English teacher prior. So like there was like all these new classes that they could take. And like, so these kids got placed into the class, or some of them took them, but some of them were totally not into what we were doing. So like kind of finding that balance of like, teaching theater, but also trying to make it very like relevant for them. too. So like, I think for the kids that weren't super like on the Broadway or film track, you know, so I found that challenging when I first started.
Well, it's so funny, eh? Because like, mm-hmm. I think everybody loves theater.
I know.
Everybody is like into it and like, they just want to like sing in the halls. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm not even in the classroom full time. I just go in like, you know, to do a little bit of play writing, a little bit of this, a little bit of workshopping. And I'm always like, what do you mean you don't want to be here?
I know. And that was like really baffling at the beginning. I was like, why are you in this class then? There's so many other things for you to take. But you know, a lot of them stuck it out. And I think by the end of the year, if I always say to them, I'm like, if you can be like a little bit more confident leaving this classroom, then I did my job. And like, that's really what I focus on when I get a student that really doesn't love theater the way I do.
Well, absolutely, eh? Like, I mean, that's really the thing is, you know, there are a multitude of skills that they can take, if they choose to, that they can take away from the class. Okay, mm-hmm. So we're here today because we are talking about that you have had a very specific experience with your advanced drama class, which I think is an awesome thing to talk about. You used one of our plays, which is awesome, mm-hmm. The Bright Blue Mailbox Suicide Note, which the link is in the description. But you took your advanced class and you toured with a show. So talk about that decision first. Like, how did that come into play?
Okay, so I guess back up a little bit of my history at this school. But so I started, I had two classes. They were supposed to be like a level one and a level two. But again, like I just spoke about when I first came in, there was no really level one or level two. So it took me my first 2 years to kind of try to get that built to a level one, level two. And then finally, at the end of last year, I was like, I think we're ready for a level three at this point. So I named the class Theater Production Workshop, and it was kind of like my advanced theater students, and I wanted a lot of them wanted to pursue acting or go to school for it. So I wanted the first half of the year to be this like audition unit, like preparing for like college auditions and stuff. But I also wanted it to be very production oriented. So that's where the thought of doing the touring production came in. And also like I've observed it in like other districts, like when I was doing my student teaching and stuff, and saw it going like the success that it was in those districts. So I really wanted to make that part of my program here at the high school as well.
I think that is, well, you know, if you're talking about how are you going to advance, right? You know, mm-hmm. what is the pinnacle of theater? Well, it's performing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and touring is such a unique animal. Like
there's
so many things. Yes, we're gonna talk about all these things. There's so many moving parts and there's so many different aspects. So we're gonna go through them all. So let's start with choosing the show. How did you choose the show? Did your students help you choose the show? What were your elements when you needed to choose the show to tour?
Okay, so how did I choose the show? So I started with one, we started with an audition unit at the beginning of the year, and I had them do monologues and so forth. So I kind of could see like where my talent level was and like what they felt comfortable with through the monologues that they chose to perform and like their work ethic through that entire audition unit process. And then what I ended up doing was I gave the kids a survey, which like I took from the course that you guys offer on DTA. So I like adapted it for
Drama Teacher Academy. Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Play survey.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I ended up taking that survey and I adapted it a little bit. I wanted to see like which kids were interested in definitely performing in the show, who wanted to take like a production role in it, or who really wouldn't mind doing both. Okay. Or like didn't care either way, which what they wanted to do. So I had 14 kids in the class. Most of them wanted to be in the show. So I knew I needed to pick like a larger, like, I mean, there's only 14 kids. That's not a lot of kids, but I needed a lot of roles. So I started looking through DTA for that. And then I also, is really important to me, especially because this is the first year that, that my high school students would feel very comfortable and confident, with the material that they were, producing and putting on, but it also appropriate for the audiences that we were going to be performing for. So with my supervisor, we decided that the eighth grade students in our district would be like the best audience for us. And so I knew we had an eighth grade audience. I knew it had high school actors. And then when it came upon Bright Blue, I just felt like it was the perfect, relevant play that both audience and actors were going to like enjoy watching and performing.
I'll bet too that you, because like not only do you have to think about the who's your audience, who are your actors, but the transportation aspect, like that, you know, the set. You can't have a big beautiful set in a touring show.
No, yeah, definitely not. I mean, I knew it had to be simple, and I'm like not the best like techie drama teacher either. So I knew that what we needed to work with like tech wise and set wise needed to be fairly simple. And so reading Bright Blue, I knew that we could do that with boxes and we could do that with tables and little props and things here and there. And also I knew everything had to go on a big yellow school bus to get us around too, with all of us on it. So yeah, that definitely played into what we could produce.
I spent 6 years in touring theater, some children's theater, some other theater. And at year one, we had all these ideas about how, oh, sure, we can just like, we can do everything and it'll be in a set. The last year, it was literally a folding chair and a nice suit. Because it's like, you unload and load, loading and unloading, I think is some of the most trying. You get really good at Tetris because you got to figure out how to.
Yeah, like how, I mean, and the kids were really good at putting everything on the bus. I was like, okay, go, do it.
Yeah. Rule number one, anything that the kids can do, make sure the kids do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So minimal set, and flexible for your actors. You know who your audience is. So how long did you rehearse? What was that process like for you?
So I ended up picking the play like early November. And then we ended up working, like starting rehearsals on the play mid-November. So it was kind of like pretty fast. And then we performed February, the very beginning of February, like the first, second. So it was fairly quick. And I think that's one of my things like for next year, that it needs to be a little bit longer, the process, because I felt like we did run out of time towards the end.
Right. There's nothing like a looming production, particularly, I would say eighth grade. I think eighth grade middle schoolers, they might be the toughest audience, but.
I know. Yeah. I was a little worried about that, but they did good. Yeah.
Okay. The process, the procedures of touring. So did you divide up the tasks? Like was there a routine to getting, did you practice a routine to, here's how we're going to load, here's how we're going to set up, here's how what we're going to do when we get to the school? Is that something that you did beforehand, or was it trial and error?
So I kind of wish we had time to do something like that, but it kind of was trial and error once we actually got on the road. I mean, the way, like to back up a little bit, like the way that, because most of the kids in the class were also performing in the play, they did pull like double duty. So like the kid playing Jake was also the costume head of the costume department, and the girl playing Karen, it was the scenic department. So like everybody had like jobs in terms of like production. So they were like responsible of like carrying things or making sure things were in order when we got, like we're about to load or unload the bus. But for the most part, it was just like, everybody grab something, make sure everything's on the bus, make sure everything's there, make sure everybody is there that's supposed to be there, and like move on to the next school. But I think next year I would like to kind of like rehearse like the load in, load out, because I feel like it did get a little messy at some times.
Yeah, I think the routine of it is, it's almost a part of your show, you know? And then if you want to even get into discussing with your students about your first impression, the impression that you make, particularly with a touring show, because your show actually kind of starts the instant you walk into the middle school. And the teachers that you talk to or the principal that you talk to, and what is impression are you giving when you're setting up or you're loading down? Like that's an interesting thing to discuss, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I, because this was like the first year we were doing this, and this is the first group of kids that had the opportunity to put something on, like I made that very clear at the beginning. I was like, we need to make a good impression, because I think this is something that could continue year after year after year. And not that if everything went wrong, it wouldn't happen, but I really wanted them to understand the power of what we were doing, not in terms of even the play, but in terms of like this tradition that could continue year after year.
Well, I mean, just think of it like in other places, like you guys are an hour from New York, so maybe it's not the same, but there's lots of places where middle school students have no access to theater and they don't get to have a theater come to their school. I have a very clear memory of being in elementary school and seeing a live performance like in my gym. And I don't think that's not something that happens, I think, very often anymore. So like, yeah, you know, so that is what a great possibility to make it an ongoing thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Okay, so I had another question. I forgot this question. Now I'm going to go back. Do you think, because you had your students pulling double duty where they were acting and also doing something on the production side, how did that fit for them? Was it overwhelming, or do you think they handled it well?
It was challenging, yeah. I think, at times. I think it's also in the way that, like, I planned everything. And, I mean, I think I did a good job, but at the same time, I think there's definitely room for improvement in years to come. What I ended up doing was when we made the rehearsal schedule, I sat down with the kids that were on our stage management team, and we created a rehearsal schedule, and I made sure that they included like production days. We would stop rehearsing the script, and on this day you would work in your departments and do what needed to be done. And I kind of gave them like a production like checklist of like what each department should do and like what the due dates would be, which I think worked for the first like month of rehearsal. And then when we started to get closer to the performance, everybody ended up really wanting to work on the script and work on their characters and the scene work and stuff. And so I kind of felt that way too. So we kind of moved away from production, and then we rehearsed the show, and then probably like the finishing touches of the set and the finishing touches of like the program and stuff like that kind of fell on my shoulders, like on my free periods during the day, which I kind of thought that might happen, especially the first year. So I think next year and years to come, like, definitely bring more time into the rehearsal process, and to like schedule more of those production days and make sure like the kids are fully getting that experience in their like production department, because they got a really good start with it, but I kind of think the end like fizzled out.
Well, again, as that performance comes closer, you know, you can really, I'm sure I can totally get what they're coming from. Okay. What was it like for them to tour a show, to like get on the bus, unload, do a show, get back on the bus, doing the show? What did you observe from your students?
I think they loved it. And after the whole process was over, we like kind of had like a reflection, and one of the students, she was like, I had a great time. I really felt like I was busy. I felt like I was important. I felt like it's like, okay, get on the bus, unload the bus, set up for the show, do the show. Take everything off the stage, put it back on the bus, go to a new school and do it all over again. Like, I think they really enjoyed the experience a lot. And it's something that, again, they've never had the opportunity to do before. And I think they also thought it was very cool because they were performing at their old middle schools. Like, we have three middle schools in the district. So each school, I had some kids from that were like alumni of that school. So I think they felt very proud to perform on the stage that they did in middle school as well. So I think overall it was like a good experience. I think they all enjoyed it. And they also enjoyed being out of school and like being in theater all day too, which was cool.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. Were there any, because this can happen because it's a little bit stressful. Were there any interpersonal problems that came up when they were in the process of trying to put the show on and traveling with the show? Or were you just lucky?
You mean like conflicts between the kids? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we were, I was so lucky. I mean, I said this to them at the beginning of the year. I'm like so lucky to start this class and this process with this group of 14 kids. They were just so good eggs. And like, I had them in my other classes, like in either 2 years or 1 year previously. And these were the top kids of each class. So like, I was very lucky in that sense. However, I mean, there were times where some kids, I guess one particular student didn't necessarily want to work with their production team or like had too many ideas and didn't necessarily communicate those ideas in the best way. So some students did get annoyed at times, but I think that's also part of the process of like working with people that might have different work habits than you. And I for the most part, I tried to let them kind of handle it, unless like, of course, it came to a point where they couldn't, then I stepped in. But it really wasn't bad at all.
So just to give a sense of, for other teachers who might be doing this, mm-hmm. What was your budget for this? And then, because I know you charged the schools to bring in the show, right? Because you made money.
You raised money. So this is what we did. So I actually am very fortunate that we were able to get like the rights of the play just through my like yearly budget that I get for my classes. We paid for the licensing and everything for like in terms of like costuming, the kids used their own clothes because it was, I mean, the show warrants that. And then for in terms of some scenery, we used stuff that we had in stock here, but we also made like flats that I had material, like out of foam board, I had material from a previous year from doing something else. So for the first year, I kind of just used what we had and just used the money in the, that I had left over in my yearly budget to just get all the, like the licensing for the show.
You made it part of your, what you had available to you.
Correct. Already. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Cool. And then, but then you raised money as well. Cause we did.
Yeah, so we did three shows at the middle school. Well, one show at each middle school, and then we did do one performance here at the high school. And again, because I didn't need to spend any of my own money, or I didn't have to spend any of like the after school theater activities money for the play, because we just used my budget, like I said. We ended up just having a suggested donation for the high school performance, and we ended up donating all of it to a foundation for suicide prevention. So we raised like over $500, which was pretty awesome, and I think it made the kids really proud that not only they were putting on like a work of entertainment and theater, but like it was for a greater purpose other than just what they were doing on that stage. So that's what we did this year. It may change in the future because I feel like we possibly could charge ticket prices like for our high school performance and then donate some of the money to a foundation. But this year we just donated everything.
Sure. When you're starting out, right? You know, just mm-hmm. just get the show done.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
So as we're wrapping up, you talked about a couple of challenges, more time, mm-hmm. And what, can you think of a couple other things that you would like to change for the next time that you do this?
Totally, yeah. So I think just to reiterate, more time. I think I would start at least 2 to 3 weeks earlier than I did this year. I think the second challenge was that the kids did pull double duty. Like even if they didn't receive a role in the play, they were understudying a role in the play. So like everybody was playing actor and production. And I think in the future, I would try to have some kids not be part of the cast and only focus on production. And I guess that's going to depend by group that I get each year, but I definitely try to separate it. Those were like the two biggest things that I feel like I definitely want to change next year. And then also just continuing like the production process further into the preparing for the show, like not have it stop at some point and just focus on the acting. Like I want them to be production or focused all the way through. Cause I think that's like one of the main lessons of the tour.
Well, I'm putting on a show, you know, that it's not, not just the acting. It's the whole kit and caboodle. It's the whole process. Okay. Mm-hmm. What would be for somebody who's watching or listening, one piece of advice that you would give a teacher for putting together a touring show?
I would say pick a show that you know before you even start or cast that you could successfully put on. I felt very confident when choosing this play, knowing the group of actors that I had and knowing my capabilities as a teacher and a director of what I could do. And just know like if there's going to be bumps along the road and a show that also can like adapt to each space, like each middle school had an auditorium, but every school was a little bit different. Like not always did our set pieces fit behind the stage, even though they weren't huge things, but it just didn't happen. So we'd had to adjust right before the show. I would say choose a play that you know you're going to be successful with, like at the end of this whole process.
I think adaptability is the hugest mm-hmm. thing for touring theater, especially if you're going to a whole bunch of different spaces. Like you just never know. Like, you know, you could be in a gym for one show and then in a nice theater for another. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. Oh, this has been lovely. Thank you so much, Mike, for chatting with me. Thank you so much for sharing your insight on this really unique and absolutely doable project for an advanced theater class.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature, it's a play feature, it's time to feature a play. Let me tell you about the play Mike referred to in our conversation, The Bright Blue Mailbox Suicide Note. This is one of my plays, and it explores how a group of teenagers publicly and privately deal with the issue of suicide. Jake, the main character, he finds a suicide note in his mailbox. He doesn't know who it's from or to whom it is addressed. His friends speculate, joke, lose interest, while Jake becomes obsessed. He goes on a crusade to find the author of the note, and instead he stumbles on a secret he never wanted to know. So Bright Blue is, it's honest, it's very straightforward, and also, and this is so important to me, has humor. Issue plays that are steeped in misery only make an audience miserable, and I have seen so many of these. And that is not the intention of an issue play. The intention of an issue play should be to have the audience reflect on the issue. And if they are miserable, whether because the person on stage is so sad or so angry or so miserable in whatever pain they're going through, they turn away from what they're watching. We always must remember that an issue play is a play, and that means the goal of the play is to communicate. And sometimes humor is the best way in a drama to communicate. And that's why also my biggest piece of advice when producing a play on a very serious or sad subject is not to play the sad. Let the story stand without the additional sad layer. Now, that doesn't mean you're unemotional, but you always want to communicate and also make sure that your actors are not overwhelmed to the point where they can't communicate. So that's The Bright Blue Mailbox Suicide Note. You can go to theaterfolk.com to read free sample pages or click the link in the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode211. Finally, where can you find this podcast? Go to theaterfolk.com/podcast, and there you will see we are on iTunes, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. That's theaterfolk.com/podcast. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.